This is Upstate's HealthLink on air. Linda Cohen along with you. Well, according to the New York Times, weight loss surgery procedures increased 40% last year, with 80,000 occurring nationwide. And there's been much written about the many health and other benefits that come from this type of surgery. But there are some lesser-known consequences. And here with more on this is Dr. Hrishikesh Shah. He's a resident in the Department of Medicine at Upstate Medical University. Welcome, Dr. Shah. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
So I read a very staggering statistic. 64% of the population in the United States is overweight, and over 30% are actually obese, according to the American Obesity Association. So, indeed, there seems to be an obesity epidemic facing this country, and that leads many patients to turn to this type of surgery, bariatric surgery. So help us understand, what are some of the disease entities that come along with this kind of obesity, either cardiovascular or otherwise?
Yes, so obesity is in itself is related to many diseases, such as if you talk about diabetes, it's well known, hyperlipidemia, which is increasing cholesterol, hypertension. If you talk about heart, it's related to, CHF, which is congestive heart failure. It also increases your risk of having heart attacks, such as MI, and it also increases the risk of sleep apnea. As a consequence of all that, it can also increase your risk of having stroke. So definitely obesity increases the risk of all these diseases quite
many problems.
Yes, definitely.
So what kinds of, just give us a thumbnail overview of the different types of bariatric surgery that people undergo.
Sure. So there are three types of bariatric surgery. One is called restrictive, and what they do is they basically try to decrease the size of the stomach so people feel, satisfied early when they eat. And those are, they can do band, they can do staple, or they can just put a sleeve around the stomach so to decrease the size. The second one is called malabsorptive, where they bypass the loop of a bowel, which is a small bowel. So what it does, it doesn't let the patient's body absorb the nutrients, and in turn, the patient ends up losing weight because of that.
Could you repeat what that's called again? I didn't understand.
It's called malabsorptive.
Oh, malabsorptive.
Yes.
So it doesn't allow the normal process of absorption,
yes,
of the calories, mm-hmm, into the body, and so they restrict
lose
the weight. Okay.
And the third type, which is the most commonly performed nowadays, is a mixed type. It's restrictive as well as malabsorptive.
Both kinds.
And that's called Roux-en-Y. And basically, that's what most commonly performed worldwide as well as Upstate.
So worldwide and Upstate, they're doing this combo kind of,
yes,
thing.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously that's more effective.
It's more effective because it combines both of the effect.
So generally, what are the effects of this kind of surgery on the health of the patient? Because as you very well outlined, there are,
yeah,
many, many, many health risks,
right,
associated with obesity. So what are the health consequences that we see subsequent to this kind of surgery?
So if you talk about beneficial effect of the surgery, so it's definitely very beneficial, and that's one of the main reason it's indicated after a certain number of BMI.
Help us understand, though, the BMI is the body mass index.
Yes,
and it's calculated based on?
It's calculated based on patient's height as well as weight. And as a number which comes up, the usual BMI for a healthy person is between 18 to 24.
Mm-hmm.
About 25 to 30, we call it overweight, and about 30 is a cutoff for obesity.
So if you have a BMI,
yeah,
of over 30, then you're considered obese.
Definitely, yep.
And does that then make you a candidate for this kind of surgery?
Well, the indication for bariatric surgery is the BMI above 40, which is considered as a severe or morbid obesity. But we also recommend if it's about 35, when patients have some cardiovascular disease such as, metabolic syndrome, or they have sleep apnea, or they have significant heart disease.
So they're already showing some serious medical consequences with a BMI that's close to extreme,
yes,
from what you're describing,
definitely,
and those patients would be considered. So what are the benefits that you, the beneficial aspects initially, mm-hmm, that you find?
So the beneficial aspects are, if you define percent-wise, there is 60% improvement in diabetes. There's about 65 to 70% improvement in hyperlipidemia or high cholesterol. And, the hypertension by itself improves about 80%.
So those are pretty staggering improvements.
Definitely, yes.
Do we understand, someone earlier in a conversation I had on this subject on the show said that they weren't 100% sure, not that they weren't, but mm-hmm. that in general medical science wasn't exactly sure why something like diabetes is reversed immediately following bariatric surgery. Do they understand that?
Well, it's not completely understood. However, there are some hypotheses, such as when the obesity goes down, there is something called adipocardiac axis. And this kind of, you know, they release some enzymes, and one of the enzymes is glucagon-like peptide. What it does, it increases the glucose uptake from the heart as well as the muscles. And that has to be linked with decreased amount of, you know, or good diabetes control as well.
So that there are really, I mean, they can see mechanisms within the body that are reversed as
exactly.
a result.
Some of them are proved, some of them are still under research, so we don't completely understand. However, we have some hypotheses based on that. Yep.
So this is something so interesting to me is these so-called lesser-known consequences, right. what people really didn't know, and something you just discovered. Can you help us tell us about that?
So this was actually a patient who came to our service. She had some lightheadedness, dizziness, and we found that her heart rate was actually, you know, in 30 to 40 range. The normal heart rate is 60 to 90, so below 60 is actually abnormal and something we call bradycardia.
Bradycardia. Does that suggest that that person would be at risk for sudden death or something of that nature, or just a very slow heart rate?
Well, no, not necessarily. If it's sinus bradycardia, meaning that if the rhythm is still generated normally by the heart, it wouldn't necessarily mean that it's harmful. However, we need to find a cause. Some people who are really active are athletes. If you say they run low.
Highly trained athletes might have that low
exactly.
heart rate.
And that's basically because we have nervous system in our body. There is something called autonomic nervous system, which has parasympathetic system, the vagus nerve, and the sympathetic system. In highly trained people, the parasympathetic system is very well trained, and that slows down the heart rate. So that's why they run low, but it's not harmful until unless it's caused by something which can lead to, you know, harmful consequences by itself.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Upstate's HealthLink on Air. I'm Linda Cohen here with Dr. Hrishikesh Shah, and we're talking about some unexpected consequences of weight loss surgery that he discovered, actually. So help us understand. This patient came in, she was lightheaded, and she had a very low heart rate.
Yes.
But you needed to understand why.
Right.
So what happened next?
So we do usual investigation to see why the patient is having low heart rate. So we did basic workup that includes, you know, EKG, echocardiogram, which is sonogram of heart. We didn't find much reason. So then we went deeper into, you know, the history, and, you know, we got some help from our cardiology department. And we found out that patient actually underwent bariatric surgery about 1 year ago, and she lost about 130 kilograms. Which is, you know, a significant amount of weight in 1 year.
What is that in pounds?
That'll be around, I would say, 250 pounds.
Wow.
I might be a plus or minus 10,
yes.
But yes.
Wow.
Yes.
So basically what you're saying is this patient presented lightheaded
right.
with a very slow heart rate,
mm-hmm.
everything else checked out normally,
right.
and upon digging, you went into her history and found that a year before she had had bariatric surgery.
Right.
Was that a known finding of bariatric surgery to have this kind of slowdown of your heart?
It is not very well known, and that was whole point of this paper, because we knew that she had a bariatric surgery right on that mission, but we didn't think about, you know, that leading to the, you know, low heart rate. But when we dig into literature, there are like few cases reported, and there are actually few review articles written on the same thing, that this patient can have low heart rate. About 10 to 30% of the patients will have persistent low heart rate after many years of surgery.
I mean, even following many years later.
Exactly. Yep.
So you wrote a paper on this. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit more about what you determined was exactly the mechanism for this, because obviously it had only just been mentioned a few different times
right.
in the literature.
So there are many underlying mechanisms. So to give you an example, so when you're severely obese or overweight, you know, you have a lot of fat tissue in your body. And all the tissue needs oxygen, and it's job of the heart to supply that oxygen.
So the heart is working overtime,
exactly.
So to speak.
And the only way the heart can do it is by going fast, meaning increasing the heart rate, as well as, you know, contracting heart. So let's say the heart is made up of muscles, so it contracts hard and hard, so eventually the muscle also enlarges. So it undergoes structural changes as well as increased heart rate.
So basically what you're saying is in any obese person,
right,
their heart becomes hypertrophied or becomes larger and works faster, right, in order to basically supply all that tissue,
exactly,
with blood.
Right. And then once they lose this significant amount of weight, the heart doesn't have to work that hard because it has less oxygen to supply. So then it kind of slows down. That's a physiological explanation. If you talk about mechanism, as I said, if when people are obese, the studies have shown that the parasympathetic system, the vagus nerve, which I mentioned before,
the vagus nerve, yeah,
it's not functioning that as efficiently as it should.
When they're obese.
So when they start losing weight, it gets its function back, and the vagal innervation actually becomes powerful, and that slows down the heart. And there's also a hypothesis there are certain enzymes such as leptin, which are hyperfunctioning because they are made by the adipose tissue or the fat tissue.
So the fat tissue makes this thing called leptin, which also makes the heart go faster.
Exactly.
But now what you're saying is that the heart in a very obese person will be faster and beat,
right,
and enlarge, but does it follow then every single person who undergoes bariatric surgery, their heart will go much slower than what is considered normal?
So not every person, and that's something we don't understand why. It happens in about 30 to 40% people, and then 10 to 20% will have a persistent. And then, rest of the 60% people doesn't have that. It can also relate it to the magnitude of weight loss, how much weight they actually lose. So it's more commonly seen in the people who lose, significant amount of weight.
In this case, over 250, you were
exactly
saying. That's a huge amount of weight to lose.
And especially in 1 year, yes.
In 1 year. So is part of it perhaps the amount of time?
It could be. We just don't know yet.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So basically, I guess, what are the health consequences of this then? In other words, obviously, this is a finding and an
right
important one to understand what's
right
happening to the body. But are there significant health consequences of this slowed heart rate?
Well, it is, because there is a concept called heart rate reserve, which is your maximum achievable heart rate as well as, subtracted by your baseline heart rate at rest. So when you're obese, you have a high heart rate, and the difference is small, so you have a low heart rate reserve. After surgery, when your heart rate drops down to low, you actually have a huge difference between your baseline heart rate and your maximum achievable heart rate.
But what will that actually mean for health?
So what it does is basically the more the difference is, it has been shown that it's better in terms of cardiac outcomes. To put it in the other way, if you have a low heart rate reserve, that can increase your risk of having arrhythmias, which is irregular heart rhythm, and even sudden cardiac death as well.
So let me just finally state it.
Yeah.
The bottom line is, if for this woman, is she at risk of having an arrhythmia or some kind of heart problem as a result of this lowered heart rate?
No, it's the opposite.
It's the opposite.
She's actually at lower risk of having any of that consequences because of she has a high heart rate reserve.
So in fact, it's improved her
beneficial
overall health.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's very, very interesting.
It
very
is,
interesting
yes
facts, and very interesting that you found all this.
Yeah,
I appreciate your coming in and sharing with us.
No, thank you.
My guest has been Dr. Hrishikesh Shah. He's a resident in internal medicine and in the Department of Medicine at Upstate Medical University. Thanks again for coming in.
Sure,
I'm Linda
you
Cohen. You're listening to Upstate's HealthLink on Air.